extends to the believers in the other churches, extending right to the present day and including you as well. When he says that ye are our epistle, and you as an epistle are known and read of all men, you must understand that your life as a child of God is likened unto an open book. And it should be. Your life should be like an open book. There should not be any mystery in your epistle. Everything should be clear, transparent, and authentic. It should not be something that somebody adds. It should not be something that you have plagiarized. It is something that, by virtue of the Spirit of God, is readable by anybody who cares to look. Now, there are at least three impediments to service or placing your book where it can be read. And they're very simple. Three impediments. Number one, who you are may serve as an impediment. You may think in a humble way that in light of who you are, that there's not a whole lot that you can or should be expected to contribute in the service of the Lord. You might liken yourself unto one of these, just one of these. That in the overall plan of God, you're not a whole lot. You can be like this, and you can get tucked away in a pocket someplace. Okay. Now this is a Bible that oftentimes is placed in an obscure location. You may find some of these in hotel rooms. You may find them sometimes in bus stations or train stations for people who still travel that way. Sometimes in various locations in airports. They are placed there by the so-called Gideon tribe, and they have their purpose. They are God's word. And you may liken your epistle, the little booklet that you are, to one of these. Not capable of doing a whole lot. More often than not, you're going to spend your life in virtual obscurity. On the other hand, you may liken yourself as to one of these. It's not something you would lay out on your dining room table or put where your china is. It's not a very attractive little book. When people come by and they see this thing sitting there, they're not going to stuff this someplace. It's not very comely. And yet it does have a purpose. Believe me, I got to tell you, it does have a purpose. I've lost count of how many times this book has been opened in the presence of a dying person, in the presence of a sick person, in the presence of a troubled person. I've just forgot how many times. Over and over and over again. And this, you say, well, how did it get like this? Well, because when you're dealing with people and you're doing one of these things, I'm a nervous kind of guy, and so I fiddle with things, and I figured that a little bit of distraction is an aid to the soul. Now this here, this Bible, maybe you fancy yourself something like this. You're a living epistle. Now this is a wooden covered Bible. It's very ornate. I don't remember who gave me this. I'm thinking it was Sandy Good. I don't know. I don't remember for sure, but it's a very lovely Bible. Now this is the kind of Bible that you would want to have out for decoration. It serves that purpose. You put it out and company comes into your house and they say, look at this. And it's got Jerusalem burnt in on the back. It's a unique Bible. Now, that's not something you can stick in your pocket or carry in your pocket. It's not something that you use, but it does have a purpose. Now, all this is God's word. Now, this is the book that most people might like. I mean, you can read it very, very easily, I think. A lot of pictures in there for people who are given to pictures, a lot of statistics, and so forth and so on. And yet, some people are impressed with big. They're impressed with big. But when it comes down to your usefulness and fruitfulness in the service of God, sometimes that impediment of who you are stifles your service, or takes it the other way, erases anything that you might have done for the Lord. I read this someplace recently, and I believe it to be true, when the individual said, at the foot of the cross, pride does not have standing. It does not have standing. Pride cannot thrive at the foot of the cross. And then you think, too, another impediment of this is what you are. Do you realize again, I'm sure you do, that many people, past and present, ascribe to themselves their worth by virtue of what they do. When people begin to pack their resume with things, they don't pack it with things that are not likely to catch somebody's eye. They want to dazzle. Okay, and so your place in life as to what you do may serve as an impediment to your usefulness. And it is also to be noted that where a person is at a certain time in their life may serve as an impediment. You may be mired in an occupation or a family circumstance that completely shields you from the light of the world. No one but God sees what you do. And so you sit back and you think that in the face of that, what can I possibly do? I would remind you that the scriptures teach us this thing, and it's very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about a steward. And a steward is a person who has been assigned a responsibility, and in for our purposes, assigned a responsibility by God. And there are certain expectations that come along with that. And that reference says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required that men be found faithful. And somebody else has said, don't have a clue who to attribute this to, but it is not success but faithfulness that God rewards. It is not success but faithfulness that God rewards. And so let me have you think about this. Again, applying the epistle motif to your life and to mine. When the apostle said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, reminds of a story that I read recently about this little tiny church in a little rural area was planning for a whole year to have the so-called revival meetings back in the day when revival meetings were quite lengthy. And the whole year's planning went into this. And they thought, as they were organizing this, well, who could we get and come and preach for that period of time? Who could we get to come that would make any difference in the lives of the people of our community? And so they dude and fussed and spun around in circles. And finally, they came up with a name of a notable preacher, a godly man, proven track record, and him they did extend a call, would he please come for a 2-week series of meetings to be conducted morning, noon, and night for 2 weeks. And he agreed. He comes to this little town, and during the course of one of the meetings, at the end of the service, a very well-dressed woman, very well-dressed woman, they would say in our day, they're well-heeled. Okay, a lot of bling. Carried herself very stately. And she gets up out of her pew and comes to the front of the church. As she does that, she gets to the front, and the audience went silent because they recognized who she was. You might liken her to somebody who was nefariously nicknamed Sister Money in the area. She comes to the front. She turns around and she requested permission of the preacher to say a word. And he granted that. Here's what she said. I just want you to know what has happened to me tonight. Just want you to know this. It was not because of anything this preacher said tonight, this good preacher. Not any word that he uttered, not a word. I stand here tonight changed because of a little woman who works in my estate. A little woman. The influence of this woman has been astounding in my life, said the stately woman. She said, her fingers are rough with toil. She's worked hard for many years. She is stooped so low. She's just a poor, obscure washwoman in my estate. And she said further, I have never known her to be impatient, speak an unkind word, or do a dishonorable deed. I know of countless little acts and unselfish love that adorn her life, and shamefully let me say, said the stately woman, that I have openly sneered at her faith and laughed at her fidelity to God. And yet when my little girl was taken away recently, it was this woman who caused me to look beyond the grave and shed my first tear of hope. She went on to say this, it was the sweet magnetism of her life that has led me to Christ. I covet the thing that has made her life so beautiful. And the preacher stood back, hardly a word to say, but tears as well. For the little washwoman, the epistle of Christ, known and read of all men. And some people, because of where they are, don't think that they can have any impact. And the message comes back over and over again from different angles, said by different people, that you need to speak and to shine just where you are. Shine, shine, just where you are, said the poet. Send forth the light into the night. Shine for the Lord where you are. Goes on to say that many of you who would hear this story are very much like this sweet Christian washwoman. You do not have positions of prominence in any church or any company, nor apparently much opportunity to do anything outstanding or noteworthy for God. And yet if you shine just where you are, someday your faithfulness will be revealed. And what a thrill it will be by and by when the Lord Jesus takes you by the hand and says, your whole life was a sermon and your humble deeds a symphony of praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So whether you be big time, prime time, any time, or little time, shine, shine, shine just where you are. And remember, it's the power of God's word infused into the life of a soul that brings that person from what they were to what they need be in the eyes of God. Saved, saved, saved. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people that you have brought into our lives over the years. Especially do we recall the people that you brought into our lives at the beginning, who were among the very first to show the light, who is Christ. None of them that I know of, dear God, for me, perhaps for the others as well, might say the same. None of them will be entered into history books or find their way on to the stage of some prominent museum. They're just sinners saved by grace who had the boldness and the heart to speak the gospel and then live it so that nothing seen in that open book could be misconstrued. Thank you, Lord, for that. And may we, as individuals here tonight, take as our challenge the model of this little obscure woman who faithfully labored for years in the back room of a mansion. And her labors there were used by you to bring her boss to the cross. And we thank you for all that, as it's repeated many times over in different places in every era. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. And thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I give thanks and praise you. Amen.